In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the third Sunday of Great Lent. We are at the midpoint of Great Lent, and the Church, in her wisdom, appoints this Sunday as the Sunday of the veneration of the Holy Cross. In a few minutes, we will literally raise up the image of the cross in our midst and challenge each one of ourselves to look at that cross and to consider what it means for us. Central to this morning's observation of the veneration of the cross is the line from the Gospel reading, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." But what does this mean exactly? If anyone wishes to deny himself, take up his cross, and if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What does it mean to take up our cross and follow Jesus? Are there different types of crosses to be taken up? Are there different types of crosses in different parts of our lives, in different times of our lives, different seasons of our lives? Is there a way for each and every one of us to respond tangibly to this challenge? If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And I would offer the following answers to the question. Is there a way to tangibly make good on this challenge that Jesus places before us, that the Church places before us this morning? One way that every one of us, regardless of age, finds him or herself taking up the cross this time of year is through observing Great Lent and through our fasting. And we hope not only through our daily prayers, but through our added daily prayers, through the added worship that we have. Now, as we get older and we fast and pray and worship, we really find that this is less and less of a cross for us annually, and more something that we look forward to. We love this time of year of Great Lent. It's renewing. But there are times in our lives when it's very difficult to take up the fast, when it's very difficult to come to the services. It's a challenge. It feels like a cross. And if it does feel like a cross in your life, then that's good, because we're supposed to take up our cross and follow Jesus. But the truth of the matter is if the only cross that you or I ever had to carry in our life was extra prayers, extra fasting, and extra worship services, it would be a pretty easy life. It would be a fantastic life. It would be a life in paradise. But there's other kinds of crosses. There's the cross that happens of unexpected events, outside events, if you will, things that are thrust upon us. Illness, our own illness. Illness of relatives. Death. Death of loved ones. Loss of any kind, loss of a job or whatever it might be. And when we find ourselves in the position of having to confront the death of a loved one, to confront illness, to confront horrible loss, we know that we, at that point, finally come to our wit's end. We can't reason ourselves out of it. We can't think ourselves out of it. We have to abandon the way we solve most of the problems in our life, which is by thinking and planning and coming to a conclusion. There are just certain times in life when we find ourselves in the restroom of a hospital with the door locked, on our knees, weeping. And during those moments, we know what it means to encounter the cross. During those moments, of course, we also know what it means to encounter the Lord, because He's there. He's there with us, and we know that. The third type of cross that I wanted to raise up this morning for our consideration is the cross that comes when we really recognize that we've done something horribly wrong. When we are younger, most of us really can't appreciate why it is that God would have to take on flesh and save us. Because most of the things we do when we are younger are rather trivial, if the truth be told, right? Lying about doing your homework, lying about not going to bed at the right time, something like that. But as we get older, as we live out our lives as adults struggling to live as Christians, but as adults living in a fallen world, we can do some pretty horrible things sometimes. And when we do those things, we have really one of two options. One is we can kind of run away and hide from God, which is impossible. And the other is we can actually begin to repent and really understand why Jesus had to come and save us. We embrace the fullness of Christianity when we really embrace the depth of our sins. So when we sin remarkably, when we sin deeply, it is a tremendous chance for us to be healed and to know Jesus Christ. It is one of the most difficult and also one of the lightest crosses that we will ever carry, this repentance after a grave sin. And then the last type of cross I wanted to talk about this morning is one that happens when the adult Christian recognizes just how sinful he or she is. And you can't rush to get to that place. It's a place that comes upon us after living the life in Christ for decades. And then what happens is we wake up one morning and we understand how it is that these holy people that we've read about and have encountered in their lives, how they can say, "Oh, pray for me, a sinner." And you don't really understand, "Pray for me, a sinner." But yes, the truth is that if we are committed to living out our lives as Christians, at some point in adulthood, we are going to realize that the words that we just heard in the Liturgy of St. Basil, "For we have not done anything good upon the earth," those words ring true in actually a very healthy way. If we're younger and try to take up this attitude that "I'm an awful sinner, I'm wretched," that's really a reflection of either hearing the wrong kinds of sermons or some sort of thing that's wrong with ourselves emotionally. But when the mature Christian embraces just how sinful he or she is, it is a cross that demonstrates that we're being prepared for the next life. And as we go around the church this morning with the cross, just please consider that when we run from the cross, when we avoid the cross, we rob ourselves. See, when I confront the cross, yes, I encounter Jesus, but when I run from the cross, then I deprive myself of that opportunity of knowing who the living God is. I mean, if I don't pray, if I don't fast, if I don't come to worship, then yeah, I do find myself saying, "Well, what's the point of coming to church? I come every couple of months, I come to liturgy, it's always the same, what's the big deal?" And we miss the point of living the life of the church. And if I don't embrace the cross when I'm confronted by the death of a loved one, when I'm confronted by illness, when I'm confronted by loss that's beyond my control, if I don't confront the cross, then what happens to me? Well, not only do I miss the chance to know the Lord, but also I find myself trying to deal with that pain in my own way. And usually when we deal with pain in our own way, we deal with it inadequately at best, sometimes in a way that has very negative consequences. And when we sin and understand that serious sin requires serious repentance, but when we sin and don't repent, when we sin and don't embrace the cross, then we're almost guaranteed to mire ourselves in a lifetime of self-loathing. And self-loathing is not an adequate substitute for understanding why it is that God became man. And if we don't take these first steps, if we don't pray and fast, if we don't embrace the cross at the time of a loss, if we don't turn back to Jesus when we sin gravely, if we don't do those things, then we'll never actually find ourselves at that point in adulthood where we understand just how flawed and sinful we are and just how glorious salvation is. We'll never ever get to that point. And we'll never ever be able to understand actually why it is that we're Christian in the first place. So these are just some thoughts, some very brief thoughts this morning as we prepare for a very subdued Lenten procession with the cross. And as we prepare to complete the course of great and holy Lent. Some thoughts about the cross, and I don't know where you are at this point in your life, but I know where I am at this point in my life. And I can certainly say, glory be to God. Glory be to God that He has given us this cross, and glory be to God that the Church in her wisdom raises it up for us to look at, for us to embrace, and for us to follow.